What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Numa Sports Takes, and today we are going to be going over my NFL mock draft for the upcoming 2024 NFL Draft. Obviously, the NFL Draft is taking place in just a couple of weeks, and so a lot of analysts have been putting out mock drafts. Some have even put out several versions of a draft, and I thought, why not try my hand at predicting at least the first round of the 2024 Draft. Obviously, predicting the draft, there's a lot of variability that comes with it, and for sure, none of them are going to be right. It's probably about as accurate as a March Madness bracket. But that being said, it's still just a little bit of fun to do. And especially given the fact that there's a lot of possible moves that teams could be making and that we're so close to the actual draft, I thought it would just be a little fun to try it. So before we get into this, I do want to say that this NFL mock draft will have no trades. Just to keep things a little bit simpler, we are doing a full set of 32 picks, and just having trades in there would definitely complicate the matter. And also trades just make things even more unpredictable than they already are. That being said, though, I will point out some of the teams that are likely going to trade picks, and kind of what I think will happen at the actual NFL draft if those trades were to happen. So let's just get started with the first overall pick, where the Chicago Bears are selecting quarterback Caleb Williams out of USC. There is not a lot of sure things in sports, especially not football, and technically this isn't either, but it's about as close as you're going to get. The Bears traded Justin Fields and are looking to reset their quarterback position once again with the new rookie deal and get the unanimous best prospect in the draft in Caleb Williams. With the second overall pick, we have the Washington Commanders selecting quarterback Drake May out of UNC. Several months ago, analysts were discussing how the gap between Drake May and Caleb Williams was a lot smaller than people like to think, but now there's a serious case to be made that Jaden Daniels and even J.J. McCarthy, for some people, are better prospects than Drake May. A lot of people are getting scared by what happened with the last highly selected UNC quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, but Drake May is quite different than Trubisky. Although May had a bit of a down year last season, had he declared for the draft the year before, he would have likely been the number one quarterback prospect. And unlike Mitch Trubisky, he's definitely spent a good amount of time in UNC and in college working on his game. That was the main criticism of Mitch Trubisky when he was coming out, that he came out too soon. Even some of his coaches said that. So the Commanders get their franchise guy, Drake May, out of UNC with their second overall pick. Moving on to the third overall pick, the New England Patriots select quarterback Jaden Daniels out of LSU. I forget which NFL analyst did this recently, but I saw a mock draft that had the Patriots trading out of the top five and selecting a receiver. As a Patriots fan, absolutely not. Yes, the Patriots need talent at just about every single position, but acquiring a generational quarterback is the most important piece in an entire rebuild. So you can't just pass up the opportunity when a guy like Jaden Daniels lands right on your doorstep with the third pick. He's the Heisman Trophy winner, and he has a unique dual threat ability with having both good passing as well as good scrambling ability. The NFL is becoming more and more of a mobile quarterback league. All of the big names we see now, with the exception of a guy like Aaron Rodgers, are very, very mobile, and that's just the way the league is trending. Jaden Daniels fits that mold exactly, and the Patriots get themselves their franchise guy with the third overall pick. Moving on to the fourth overall pick, we have the Arizona Cardinals. A lot of times the Cardinals have been a team that would be interested in potentially trading down because there's a lot of quarterback needy teams, as we'll see later on. But in this no-trade mock, the Cardinals are staying put and selecting wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State. Although now, because of neighbors' good workouts and the lack thereof for Marvin Harrison, there seems to be kind of a debate as who's the best receiver amongst analysts, but I simply don't buy it. Since the beginning of last season, MHJ was the consensus number one receiver, and all he's done this year was ball out. As a team with a high draft pick that doesn't need a quarterback, this is really a no-brainer for the Cardinals to get the best player available, which is by far Marvin Harrison Jr. Given that Hollywood Brown also left the Cardinals, this selection just makes too much sense. They don't really have a bona fide wide receiver one, and Harrison Jr. can be just that. Unless a quarterback needy team offers the Cardinals an irrefutable draft haul, don't be surprised if the Cardinals actually just stand pat at four and get themselves a new number one pass catcher. Moving on to the fifth overall pick, we have the Los Angeles Chargers selecting wide receiver Malik Nabers out of LSU. The second LSU guy off the board in the top five goes to Jim Harbaugh's LA Chargers. Due to the salary cap restraints, the Chargers had to let go of their two best receiving targets in Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. First rounder last year, Quentin Johnson, struggled to stay in the least in the year one. So the Chargers will look to try again and draft a stud from the Bayou. The Chargers are another team that people have labeled as a possible trade partner for a quarterback-hungry team, but this would require one of the four big quarterbacks, that being Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, or J.J. McCarthy, to still be available. Then I could see a team like the Vikings, Broncos, Raiders, or even Giants, if they get nervous, trading up for a new signal caller. As it is, though, in this no-trade mock, neighbors to L.A. makes a lot of sense based on fit and team need. Moving on to the next pick, we have the New York Giants with the 6th overall pick selecting quarterback J.J. McCarthy from Michigan. He's labeled as many by the as the most intriguing player in the draft, and McCarthy in this mock draft will land right in the Giants' lap at pick 6. It's no secret that Daniel Jones isn't the answer, and if J.J. is still on the board, the Giants could take him as the quarterback of the future. He still has a year on his contract, Daniel Jones I mean, and so J.J. wouldn't even have to start right away necessarily. While many experts like this move for the G-men, I have to say it does kind of remind me a lot of what they did with Daniel Jones. While J.J. has risen up draft boards far more dramatically than Daniel Jones did, many still believe that J.J. will be overdrafted for what he is. People rave about J.J.'s athleticism, which was exactly Daniel Jones' strength as well. So be wary, Giants fans. Lastly, everyone is kind of focused on how J.J. wasn't asked to do much because of Michigan's run game, but in addition to that, J.J. also had one of the best offensive lines in college football, and so the Giants will need to surround J.J. with the right tools for him to succeed if they truly decide to go all-in with McCarthy as their next quarterback. Moving on to the 7th overall pick, we have the Tennessee Titans, and they're selecting offensive tackle Joe Alt from Notre Dame. A lot of focus has been on the father-son duo of Marvin Harrison and Marvin Harrison Jr., but I think we should also be talking about the Alt father-son duo as well. John Alt was a Pro Bowl left tackle, and now his son Joe is following that same path. The Titans have been needing a left tackle ever since Taylor Lewan got injured and previous first-rounder Isaiah Wilson, let's just say, didn't work out. Alt should hopefully be the solution up front for them. Moving on to the number 8th pick, we have the Atlanta Falcons taking wide receiver Rome Odunze out of Washington. The logical move would be to select a defensive player to bolster up that side of the ball. But when have the Falcons ever been logical? Moreover, the Falcons can't help but draft big-name skill players with their top picks. They had an era of drafting offensive linemen about 10 years ago, but now they're firmly in their offensive skill player era, having previously selected Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and most recently, Bijan Robinson, despite having pressing needs on defense. I just say the trend continues as the Falcons fall in love with Odunze's deep ball catchability and simply just can't say no to pairing him next to all of those other aforementioned offensive weapons alongside Kirk Cousins. Moving on to the 9th overall pick, we have the Chicago Bears taking edge Dallas Turner out of Alabama. Lots seem to like a receiver like Odunze going to the Bears. However, since the Bears already have a pretty strong tandem of DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, and since Odunze is off the board here, I have them taking the best player available in Dallas Turner. The Bears made a midseason trade for Montez Sweat, and having Turner on the other side would be a formidable pass-rushing duo. I could also see the Bears going O-line here to protect Williams, but no one can complain about bolstering up the defensive side of the ball as well. Moving on with the 10th overall pick, we have the New York Jets selecting offensive tackle J.C. Latham from Alabama as well. There's a lot of really talented linemen in this draft, and not a lot of talented linemen on the Jets, so a tackle to New York makes a lot of sense. The real question is, which one? I have Latham here, but you could easily make the case for Fuaga, Fautanu, or Fashanu as well. If the Jets somehow screw this up and don't take a lineman, Aaron Rodgers is guaranteed not making it more than 5 plays once again. With the 11th overall pick, I have the Minnesota Vikings selecting quarterback Michael Penix Jr. Given that the Vikings have already moved up in the draft to the point where they now have 2 first-round picks in this 2024 draft, it wouldn't surprise anyone if they tried to trade all the way back up into the top 5 to get a signal caller, because obviously they no longer have a stable option at quarterback because Kirk Cousins left. I mean, unless you consider Sam Darnold as a stable option, but yeah, I wouldn't. However, in this no-trade mock, the Vikings are kind of just forced to sit pat on this 11th overall pick, but they're still going to get a quarterback for their efforts as they get Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington. The main issue with Penix is that he has a lot of injury concerns, but those aside, he might just be the most accurate passer in this entire class. With all of the offensive weapons in Minnesota, including TJ Hockenson, Jordan Addison, and as of now, Justin Jefferson, Penix should enjoy launching deep spirals all game long. With the 12th overall pick, the Denver Broncos are selecting cornerback Terrion Arnold from Alabama. The Broncos are left on the outside looking in for the quarterback, says the top five are pretty much off the board here. Perhaps they try and draft a guy like Bo Nix in a later round. For now, though, they're going to address another need in the secondary by selecting corner Terrion Arnold. Arnold's a very safe choice with a very high floor, who should pair nicely across Surtain on the defense. With the 13th pick, the Las Vegas Raiders, I almost said Oakland there, are selecting cornerback Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. Like the Broncos, the Raiders are stuck with no good quarterbacks to take with the 13th pick, so instead they too are going to address another need in the back end of the defense by taking cornerback Mitchell. Mitchell feels like such a Vegas pick. He had a highly productive career at a smaller school in Toledo, and his measurables were absolutely amazing at the combine. While Arnold is no doubt the safer corner, he's already gone, and honestly the Raiders would have taken Mitchell anyway. Vegas loves to roll the dice, figuratively and literally. Moving on to the 14th overall pick, the New Orleans Saints are selecting offensive tackle Oluminua Fashanu out of Penn State. The Saints continue pretending they're competitive by selecting a stud offensive tackle in Fashanu. He did not allow a single sack this past season at Penn State. The Saints love slightly more project guys who have insane measurables, and Fashanu fits that, coming in at 6'6 and nearly 320 pounds, while many worry about how his game will translate to the NFL level. Hopefully, unlike the other project players that the Saints have previously selected, I'm looking at you, Marcus Davenport, Fashanu develops properly to become a new anchor on the line that the Saints desperately need. Moving on to the 15th pick, we have the Indianapolis Colts, who are selecting tight end Brock Bowers out of Georgia. The Colts could really use a corner, but the top two guys are already off the board, and so I have them going with the best player available in Brock Bowers. Bowers has been mocked all over the place, in some drafts as high as the top 10, and in others towards latter stages of the first round. I have him landing kind of somewhere in the middle here, going to Indianapolis. I kind of wasn't sure about this mock at first, but the more I saw into it, the more I actually like it. The Colts did secure Michael Pittman Jr. on a 3-year deal, but outside of him, there's not too many pass catchers. With Anthony Richardson returning, why not give him a dynamic do-it-all tight end who can help aid his development in the pass game? I think the fit actually makes a lot of sense. Moving on to the 16th overall pick, the Seahawks are selecting offensive tackle Troy Fatanu out of Washington. Fatanu will make the incredibly, incredibly far trek from Washington all the way to Seattle. While Seattle already has Charles Cross at the tackle spot on the left side, Fatanu showed his ability to play both tackle and guard for UW this past season, and so he'll no doubt be successful as a guard role in Seattle as well. That being said, though, no matter what role he plays, he'll definitely be a standout for them, and it's just a very logical pick for Seattle, keeping the Washington kid in the same state. You gotta just love it. Moving on to the 17th overall pick, the Jacksonville Jaguars are selecting wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. The Jaguars could totally invest this pick into a defensive player, whether that's on the line with a guy like maybe Byron Murphy, or in the secondary with a Swiss Army knife player like Cooper DeJean. However, if Brian Thomas Jr. slides this far, I think the Jags just have to be in the market for him. They lost Calvin Ridley, and while they brought in Gabe Davis, he's really more of a complimentary guy rather than a made wide receiver one. Their other options currently are Christian Kirk and Zay Jones, which are again nice compliment guys, but not a true wide receiver one. While Brian Thomas Jr. was technically the number two guy at LSU, that's only because Malik Nabers existed. This guy is an incredible receiver in his own right, and entering Duvall, he should develop nicely into the true number one receiver that the Jags and Trevor Lawrence would love. Moving on to the 18th overall pick, the Cincinnati Bengals select offensive tackle Tyleese Fuaga out of Oregon State. Given all the T. Higgins rumors, many like the Bengals drafting wide receiver here, but with Thomas Jr. now gone, Joe Burrow's plethora of injuries, and Fuaga being really the last of the great offensive linemen on the board, it just makes too much sense to pair him with Cincy. Cincy hopes that, like the 2020 draft, that the fourth offensive lineman selected ends up being the best. In 2020, it was Tristan Wirfs. Maybe in 2024, it'll be Fuaga. Who knows? With the 19th overall pick, we have the Los Angeles Rams selecting edge Jared Verse out of FSU. With the way things played out, Verse at 19 would be an absolute steal for the Rams. Obviously, the retirement of Aaron Donald looms large, and there's really no replacing him, but I guess no time for the present to try. It's big shoes to fill for Verse, for sure, but his consistent production at FSU should hopefully translate to the next level, and let's be honest, if he's half of what Aaron Donald is, that'll be a home run of a pick for LA. Moving on to the 20th overall pick, the Pittsburgh Steelers are selecting offensive tackle Amarius Mims out of Georgia. With not one, but two new quarterbacks on the roster, Pittsburgh should be looking to protect them. They could lean wide receiver here, given that they lost Deontay Johnson, but Mims is just too appealing to pass up on. New offensive coordinator Arthur Smith also loves the run game, and that's exactly where Mims excelled at in Georgia. He's still overall raw, but Mims' athleticism for his size is off the charts, and so Pittsburgh is going to take a chance on him here at the 20th overall pick. With the 21st overall pick, the Dolphins are selecting offensive lineman Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon. He is ranked as the consensus best interior offensive lineman, and he goes across the country to play in Miami. Although Tua wasn't hurt this past season, if Miami's considering giving him a long-term deal, it's pretty imperative that they protect his fragile frame. Powers Johnson should be an instant upgrade on the line. With the 22nd overall pick, the Philadelphia Eagles select cornerback Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. Yes, the Eagles just got Chauncey Gardner-Johnson back, but given that this defense was ranked in the bottom 10 for most metrics, it could definitely still use some bolstering. Wiggins is a bit more of a project guy who will need to get bigger in order to match up with NFL receivers, but Philly certainly has the credentials to develop him into a reliable starter for the future. A good, solid pick for them. The Minnesota Vikings with the 23rd overall pick select edge Byron Murphy, the second out of Texas. It's more likely that the Vikings won't have this pick if they end up trading for a quarterback, but if they did, they would be landing an absolute stud here in Byron Murphy. Murphy slides a bit due to teams focusing on the offensive line, and that's just the Vikings' game. Having just lost stalwart Neil Hunter on the line, Minnesota gets an instant replacement in Murphy II, who was really ranked and projected to go a lot earlier than 23rd overall. With the 24th overall pick, the Dallas Cowboys select offensive lineman Graham Barton out of Duke. The Cowboys have needs on defense, yes, but have you looked at their O-line depth chart? It's really bad. Barton fits perfectly here, as he has unique versatility to play both tackle and center. Given the recent departures of tackle Tyron Smith and center Tyler Biadasz, Barton could prove useful at either spot. Unfortunately, he can't play both, Dallas, so maybe you should consider going all-in on a lineman. Really. Really, Jerry Jones, you said all-in. That's just an absolute joke. Anyway, moving on to the 25th overall pick, the Green Bay Packers select cornerback/safety Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. After losing Darnell Savage Jr., the Packers look to replace him with Cooper DeJean. At Iowa, DeJean played both corner and safety, so the Packers should feel comfortable slotting him into either role. The Packers made good moves offensively in free agency, so it's only fair that they give some love to the other side of the ball, as they look to build upon their surprise playoff run last season. They're actually a team that I think could be a dark horse Super Bowl contender. Moving on to the 26th overall pick, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers selecting edge Laiatu Latu out of UCLA. It seems like all the edge rushers are kind of sliding a bit in my mock draft, but once again, I just love this pairing of Latu to Tampa Bay. The Bucs just lost Shaq Leonard, and so Latu should be a day one starter. At UCLA, Latu is dominant, racking up double-digit sacks both seasons and having also have a lot of tackles for loss. So he should definitely slot in really nicely on that defensive line. Moving on to the 27th overall pick, the Cardinals select defensive lineman Johnny Newton out of Illinois. Having snagged the best wide receiver at pick number 4, Arizona turns their attention towards the opposite side of the ball by getting Newton from Illinois. He won Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year at Illinois and has the size of a new age defensive lineman who's very athletic as well, so it should be a nice fitting for Arizona. Moving on to the 28th overall pick, the Buffalo Bills select wide receiver Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. The Stephon Diggs departure makes this pick incredibly logical. The Bills were smart to move off of Diggs, as his production really tailed off as the season went on, and remember, the Bills were playing much better in the second half of the year, so potentially a correlation there. That being said, losing Diggs as well as wide receiver 2 Gabe Davis cannot go unnoticed. Mitchell has the perfect size to grow into Josh Allen's new favorite target. Moving on to the 29th overall pick, the Lions select edge rusher Darius Robinson out of Missouri. The Lions were oh so close to the Super Bowl, but if there's anything to take away from the NFC Championship game, besides perhaps playing more conservatively, which Dan Campbell won't do, it's that the Lions still need help on defense, which Dan Campbell may help. Robinson should be a nice complement across star Aiden Hutchinson, and having acquired DJ Reader for the interior in free agency, this pick would mean that the Lions have all but solidified their front four. Let's be real though, the Lions are totally drafting a running back or something, because honestly, who knows? I mean, I guess it worked out this year, though, so not too much criticism there. Moving on to the 30th overall pick, the Baltimore Ravens select offensive lineman Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma. Typically, as you get later in the first round, it becomes harder to mock up, and there's less agreement, because obviously everyone's picks are different leading up to that point. That being said, though, I think there's a pretty telling message when you look at all of the top mocks and Guyton is there for Baltimore at pick 30. With Derrick Henry in the fold, Baltimore looks to continue building upon their strong rushing presence led by the King and Lamar. Morgan Moses, last year's starting tackle, is gone, and Ronnie Staley, for as good as he is, has really struggled with injuries as of late. So Guyton just makes too much sense here. With the 31st overall pick, the 49ers select edge Chop Robinson from Penn State. The second Robinson edge rusher to go off the board is now a 49er. Given that the 49ers have lost Eric Armstead and Chase Young, Robinson fits perfectly here. Robinson has tons of athleticism and upside out of Penn State, but not ideal production that you would look for in a Big Ten lineman. The 49ers are a great match for him, as they kind of have a knack of developing these high-motor defensive linemen, and he gets to rush opposite of Nick Bosa, which will certainly free up some opportunities for him right from the get-go. And moving on to our last pick in the first round, and therefore our last pick in this entire mock draft, we have the Kansas City Chiefs selecting wide receiver Xavier Worthy from Texas. The Chiefs finished the season needing a receiver, and just before the draft, that need has only been exacerbated because whatever is happening with current number one target Rashid Rice is certainly not good. It's a toss-up of which receiver the Chiefs will actually go for here, as it's a completely stacked wide receiver class. There's a case to be made for Ladd McConkey out of Georgia, Keon Coleman from FSU, and Troy Franklin from Oregon, but I have the Chiefs taking Xavier Worthy from Texas. Worthy posted the fastest 40-yard dash in the NFL Combine, and the speedster racked up 1,000 yards at Texas, all while competing for targets with Adonai Mitchell. Worthy should be an instant upgrade at wide receiver for Kansas City, and should really thrive considering Patrick Mahomes will be his new quarterback. Going from Quinn Ewers to Patrick Mahomes, that's a pretty good deal right there. Anyway, that concludes the 2024 NFL mock draft I have made. Let me know what you guys think of this. Obviously, quite quarterback heavy on the front end, and also a ton of linemen scattered from around pick 10 all the way down to pick 25. That just seems to be where a lot of the talent is in this draft, and so that's kind of how I mocked it up. A little less on the defensive side, but definitely a great quarterback, offensive lineman, and wide receiver draft as well. Anyways, which player did your team select in this? Did your team even select? Sorry, Panthers fans. And let me know if you like the player that your team got through this mock or didn't. I'm definitely going to be making some more podcast episodes in the future. I was considering making one on March Madness Finals, but I just didn't think that many people were interested in that because I got a lot of emails about the NFL draft instead, even though March Madness has been happening throughout the whole time. So that's kind of why I decided to make this episode. So definitely make sure to send me emails, umasportstakes@gmail.com, because I do read them and I do take in your suggestions in deciding what podcast episode to make next. As I was kind of saying at the end of my previous podcast episode, I have a pretty big episode planned for the upcoming Olympics. It's going to take a little while because I want to wait until the U.S. trials finish for track and field, so potentially a little hint at what that Olympics episode could be about. But in the meantime, definitely let me know if there's any other podcast episodes you want me to make. Maybe we want an analysis of the March Madness matchups for both men and women, because honestly, the women's March Madness is way more entertaining than the men's this year, in my opinion. But let me know if you want maybe some kind of analysis of that, or even a draft recap once the NFL draft actually happens. Also, if you want any more of my content, I post almost daily on TikTok and YouTube, and so definitely make sure to check me out there. Anyway, I'll definitely make sure to catch you in the next one. Peace.